Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It may have taken as much as 30 years, but we finally do have a proper understanding. Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. How are y'all? Hope it's a great day wherever you are. Heath's here. David's here. Y'all are here. I'm here. So we're going to talk college football. I said it could have taken as many as 30 years. It's taken at least 5 or 6 or 7. If we DeLorean back in time, this proper perspective I'm talking about, this proper understanding, this, I don't know, more of a firm grip on reality about what really matters. If we go back in time to 1993, I am talking NFL Combine and top draft prospects working out in Indianapolis. Now, there used to be a bunch of regional combines. And then somebody came up with the idea, like Chris Landry was one of them. He ran the thing for the first couple of years in Indianapolis. Was, why don't we just bring everybody together one place? And they picked Indianapolis. Do y'all know why? Heath, have you ever been to the Hoosier Dome, I guess, back in the day, that structure in downtown Indy?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I was there for Final Four a couple of times.
What Chris was saying, he says, was this simple. Middle of the country works better, obviously, he says, but it was one of those NFL facilities that there's a walkway to a hospital. And, like, you can go next door. The very first thing you do is go over there, fill the cup, and then I take the sky bridge or whatever into the stadium, and you're ready to work out. He said that was literally how they paired part of the list. So it's been there for decades now, and it works. And I don't know. I used to think it was better. And maybe there's a way. There's unlimited money in the NFL. It's a visually stunning look, and I bet it's faster. For the combine, they need to bring back the old bright green flat turf. Heath, can you even remember the last time you saw a game played on that stuff? Was it not beautiful? Brutal for the players.
Yeah, it's concrete. It's absolutely horrible.
But boy, visually stunning. And you talk about some good 40 times. So that's what it was. And so then they updated it. So whatever. And so there is all kinds of perceptions over the years about whether it's a fast track, it's a slow track, whatever. It was just an organizational administrative thing was the reason that they chose it. If we go back to 1993, Drew Bledsoe, taking advantage of a relatively new provision. He was coming out of Wazoo, but he had only been on the Palouse for 3 seasons. And Drew Bledsoe is saying, hey, this new thing where juniors can go to the league. Yeah, I'm a junior. I'm going to the league. He was widely expected to be the first overall selection in the NFL draft, which made sense. He looked like the brawny man playing quarterback. Big, square shoulder, rocket arm guy, and except for Mo Lewis trying to murder him, he probably would have continued to have a very, very productive. Like, he was 4,028 touchdowns. I mean, it's every single year. Drew Bledsoe, gonna be the first overall selection. Showed up in Indianapolis, in order, filled the cup, handed out his medical records, did the stopwatch, the measuring tape. He took every snap he was instructed to, threw every pass he was asked to. He answered all the Scantron questions, did all the interviews. Then went home and waited to be drafted first overall. You could go YouTube your computer and watch Drew Bledsoe working out at the Combine. He wears number 22. And he's just, shooting chili peppers all over that place. It really confirmed what people thought. That was 1993. Drew Bledsoe said, I'm about to be the first overall pick, and I'm showing up in Indianapolis, and I'm going to confirm everything they think they know about me. If we advance decade and a few years later, 2007, and by the way, I didn't cherry pick this. I looked at a list specifically of quarterbacks who were drafted first overall since 1967, and that's the Super Bowl era. I just picked another one. 2007, Jamarcus Russell. Jamarcus showed up in Indianapolis. He said, I will let you measure how tall I am. I'll let you see how much I weigh. And then literally he's like, I'm going to run 240s. Then Jamarcus out. And that was it. Jamarcus showed up. He didn't do all the interviews. He didn't do all the medical. He didn't do all. He's like, I will let you measure me. Everything else can come later, but it's going to come on campus when it's structured and it wasn't just Jamarcus. So understand, and I'm just saying, I just scanned forward. I was like, who looks good next? Okay, this guy. And so then when you go Google your computer, do a directed search to that combine in February of 07, all kinds of criticism. Team is about to invest the first overall pick and millions of dollars, and he can't even go through the workouts. And in 2007, do you know what, I guess 15, 16, whatever year ago, Chuck was doing? Same thing. Why are you afraid of competition? I don't think I like that. Fast forward to 2014, it was a funny year. The exact same headlines. Late rising Blake Bortles was the only projected first-round quarterback who said he'd do anything in Indianapolis. Blake Bortles was like, I'm from UCF. I didn't know I was going to start. He said, yeah, I'll do whatever you want. He said, I'll throw. And he went to Indianapolis. He threw. Blake Bortles, didn't he wind up going third overall? And he went up to Indianapolis, and apparently, I mean, he just put on a scathing, molten lava sort of thing. Now, the fact that he was like 6'5 and broad-shouldered and just strong-armed, and I will give Blake Bortles credit for something. He and Johnny Manziel are two of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen at keeping their eyes downfield. When they're totally different guys, but when the pressure came, he went up to Indianapolis and said, I'm game, went third overall. Manziel was like, I ain't doing anything. Bridgewater said, yeah, I don't think so. I'm thinking we'll save it for pro day. There was criticism. I was reading a New York Post article about it this morning. Criticism how none of the quarterbacks except this good guy, Blake Bortles, none of them appreciate the opportunity to show off in front of 32. And I'm like, Teddy Bridgewater's looking around going, bad track, and I don't know the receivers. By that time, I had gotten off my, I guess, Jamarcus high horse. If Andrew Luck didn't work out, I'm sure I had an Andrew Luck high horse. By like 2014, I was like, yeah, that does kind of make sense. And for Johnny Manziel, if you don't remember this, Heath, just for entertainment purposes, I invite anybody to go look. Johnny Manziel, and he refused to work out, and then he, quote, dared the Texans not to take him first overall. It may bankrupt your franchise when a guy from Texas turns into what I'm going to turn into, and you passed him by. High comedy for the absolute worst reasons.
And then he snorted up the goal line.
But he also, on the heels of that, said, by the way, I ain't doing ish. And he turned around and he left Indianapolis. Wasn't as much criticism, just more of an observation, sort of, about that part. But it still was garnering attention. We're in March of 2024. NFL personnel guys would look at Caleb Williams weird if he did play in the bowl or do everything at the combine. Caleb Williams showed up in Indianapolis, and y'all know he talked to people. As far as I know, that was it. Like, Caleb showed up, and he did interviews, and, like, he handed out, I guess, flash drives with all his x-rays and stuff and his test results, and his triglycerides are good. And so, like, he showed up. He filled the cup. Walked across the street. Hi, here's my medical. Here's my medical. Caleb Williams. Glad to meet you, Caleb. Very nice. Yeah, Caleb. He did his interviews. And then Caleb got in the limo, went to the airport, and Caleb flew home. That was it. That was his Indianapolis adventure. All of it. No 10-part Netflix anything. No road to the draft. No John Gruden on the whiteboard. None of that. Caleb showed up, shook hands. Hello, my name is Caleb. Like all of that, had the little sticker on. And then Caleb went home. Barring an elephant falls on Caleb Williams, he's the first overall pick. With all that is, I mean, virtually guaranteed. Folks, it would be evaluated, I believe, as Caleb is immature. I'm not kidding. This is how it's turned. Jamarcus, you afraid of competition? That was just mainstream, sort of, and everybody lined up and looked at Jamarcus and said, slings and arrows, bad Jamarcus. Now, it turned out being bad Jamarcus for a lot of things. I mean, Burger King, purple drink, sleeping late, video games, you name it. If there was an influence to get Jamarcus away from playing good NFL football, he played for the Raiders. Like, the environment out there. Did he play for Lane? Don't tell me he played for Lane.
Yeah, he was, because that was part of the conflict. That was part of what Al got on the projector
about.
Because
the 5 a.m.
Lane did not like the idea of Jamarcus. And Al loved the idea of Jamarcus because, hey, huge,
big, strong,
he can throw
arm,
the ball 80 yards.
Yes, he can. Didn't Lane try to kick like an 80-yard field goal with Janikowski?
He did.
Yeah.
There's a reason it turns out people don't do that.
So that was, I will say, there was context. That is the environment. Lane, barely old enough to stay up late, was then handed the play sheet for an NFL team. And then Jamarcus, all right. Now, and then the owner said, and here's your quarterback. Whatever. Didn't work out for Jamarcus for a lot of reasons. And there was criticism, and part of it, well, you should have shied away from competition. I don't know if I like you anymore. I promise you, in 2024, if Caleb Williams would have shown up in Indianapolis and done everything that was available, everything that the day three or priority free agent from East Carolina is there doing, he's there getting the Patriots GM dry cleaning if he can. Carry your bag, sir? Like, that's the guy from East Carolina who's hustling around trying to get drafted. If Caleb Williams did that with all that is already virtually guaranteed, I promise you it would actually raise a pink flag on Caleb. Why is he here? What is he? What's wrong with him? It's like when Cam would show up wearing like a giant pink hat with a purple feather sticking out of it. You're like, what's wrong with you?
I don't know if you saw this, Chuck. Do you know how many quarterbacks ran the 40-yard dash? One. Sam Hartman, out of all the quarterbacks, we're talking dudes who are going to be undrafted free agents.
I do know that, by the way.
The only guy who actually was willing to run the 40-yard dash was Sam Hartman. So they literally had to let him run the 40 and then catch his breath and run the 40 again.
There was no
second.
Because
there was nobody else to do it.
Do you know the only reason, this is 2024, the only reason I know Sam Hartman ran a 40? My wife saw on TikTok, apparently he's got flowing locks. Were you aware of his gorgeous hair?
He's quite handsome. That's the ladies are big fans of Sam Hartman.
Okay, my wife showed him. She's like, do you know him? I was like, that's Sam Hartman. Do you know him? I was like, no, I'm sorry, I know of him. She's like, look at his hair. And I was like, that's always been his hair. Oh, my goodness. And she showed me this video. So I knew Sam had run. Apparently, it was like a shampoo commercial. All right, so good for Sam Hartman. So what's Sam Hartman trying to do? He's trying to change some perceptions. He's trying to get drafted. It's an old school hustle in Indianapolis. For all that is already guaranteed for Caleb, I promise you, if he showed up in Indianapolis and started busting tail and saying, yes, sir, I'll run it again. Me and Sam, we're out here. We're the 40-yard crew. People go, what are you doing? If he had decided to play in the bowl game, 5-loss USC, is that right? If he had decided to play in the December 27th bowl game, dude, you're about to be the first overall pick. I know, and we're going to rock it on Wednesday night in San Diego. It would have raised a red flag. What are you doing? So while I wax about what Barry Sanders did against Wyoming in 89, and by the way, go look up that game, that bowl game Barry Sanders had. It may be the best he ever was, that he ever was on a football field. Totally pointless. And we understand that now. somebody had the courage to be first to do all of this. Barry Sanders was one of those who had the courage to be first to go, "No, I'm a junior. I'm done. After only 3 years, traitor, selfish, all about you." Barry's like, "Yeah, Barry out." Now, if a guy stays for his fourth year, this is called perspective. These years later, if a guy won the Heisman as a running back in his junior year and he comes back for a senior year, we're looking at him sideways and almost asking him, "Are you sure?" That's what it is. It's perspective and it's reality, and good for Caleb for understanding that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Jump into it next.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Tough morning for one broadcasting legend. All he did was roll out of bed. Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. Wow. There is a media newsletter that goes out every morning. And everybody in sports media, it just shows up in my inbox. I never subscribe to it, but it's a mainstream, well-known, so it's there. This morning, the lead article on it, headline, "Broadcasting can be a cold business for legendary voices." So can digital publishing. On this media newsletter, the subheadline under "Broadcasting can be a cold business for legendary voices," the subheadline was, "Teams don't want a broadcast that isn't up to standards." Underneath that's a picture of Eli Gold. There are three others as well. Hawk Harrelson, who I brought up a couple of weeks ago. Remember, he had done 43 years and complained. He said, "I really just wanted one more." Eli had a scene. He's like, "I told Alabama I'll just do one more." The Minnesota Twins announcer, who I did not know, but he's been there 43 years. That's on me. He basically was told, "Walk with me. We're going to go younger. Someone who understands whip." So they're the Pittsburgh Steelers as well, announcer. So they're all much older. I would say minimum 70. "Broadcasting can be a cold business for legendary voices." Underneath that, "Teams don't want a broadcast that isn't up to standards." And then a picture of Eli Gold. There are three others, but given the other stories, the other three individual, their stories, they're not getting work or additional work or really pining away, beating the bushes for work. Eli's unemployed. Eli is looking for work. He's still actively trying to get jobs. And my opinion, he's not. Not after this. Folks, everybody in sports media gets this daily update. Everybody I know of. And it just declared Eli Gold the poster old man for can't do the job anymore. If everyone in the industry reads this, anyone who may want to hire Eli may be deterred simply by not wanting the look of jumping on such a publicly declared sinking ship. "I'm hiring the guy who doesn't do the job up to standards anymore. I have to give the appearance my station, team, channel, network, whatever is better than that." Tough deal here. All right. Just the reality of the potential result of that. I mean, that was a brutal thing, and it hit me. I said, saw the headline. I was like, yeah, it is a tough time. A lot of folks are being ushered out. And I talked about that in the instance, like, there are only 16 now, 16 play-by-play jobs in the SEC, 16 that exist. One person having it for like four decades. It doesn't matter if that's the case. You just kind of need to be aware that's the case. They're not flying the space shuttle. And so I thought that was part of the article, and that's what it was. But when I saw that subheadline, I was like, they just declared, hey, Eli Gold, he's one of these guys that doesn't do the job up to standard anymore. He's not getting work after that, not as a result of that article. Heath, how's your Thursday? Did you get submarine today?
I did not. The one thing I will say is, first of all, how dare you disrespect the Nashville Cats like that, sir? Secondly, on top of that, the one thing I will say is maybe he doesn't get the job as voice of, but maybe he gets those kind of jobs doing like ESPN radio games, Compass radio games, stuff like that.
Sports Radio USA or whatever the syndicated is.
He might be able to get some of that. So, Chuck, the University of Missouri is looking for a new athletics director, one of the jobs that's open in the SEC.
Oh, she got poached, didn't she?
Yep, Texas A&M job also open. But this is something I think is interesting. These are the folks, I'm not going to go through the names, but the titles of the people on the search committee. Curator, which is their version of Board of Regents, curator and chair of the search committee, chair of the board of curators, curator, faculty athletics representative, executive vice president for finance and operations, civic leader, alum, general counsel, human resources. Not appearing on the list of people looking for an athletic director, anyone who has anything to do with, you know, athletics. Not a coach, not an administrator in the department, no one involved in the search for an athletic director has anything to do with athletics. And Chuck, this is where I'll say one thing. I've heard Missouri in particular has a problem with political meddling in their athletics department. So that's part of this, is that the curators apparently have always been a little too active. And that may be one of the reasons why the ADs don't tend to stick around that long at Missouri if they can find a better option. So Desiree Reed-Francois got the heck out of there and went to Arizona. But I think this may also be the future a little bit, because I think the role of that AD is becoming way more about how can you raise money in the community, how can you get money from politicians and legal things we need done for politicians.
Lobbyist.
I think this is a sign of the future. It might not be equal for every single program, but I think we're going to see a lot more about maybe you have the corporate person at top and then, hey, whatever, they can have an executive AD in charge of knowing who the coach should be. But them knowing whether a football's inflated or stuffed, I think those days, that's one example of where that may be going away.
Oh, no, the AD sitting down with the new head coach and working on the blocking of the backside guard on that toss play? No, that is not happening these days. The AD is now about business, way more than athletics. I mean, think like team president in MLB who says, hey, that's up to the GM. I run all the pricing stuff.
Always college football time in the South.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Thursday on the Chuck Oliver Show, 9 states and 60 sticks. I appreciate the blessing, folks. I mean it. Jackson Dart, I don't even know what to make of this. I mean, I do send him, like, positive concern vibes. I want the man to be out there because I've mentioned him a couple of weeks ago. I was just waxing about Nico and just watching that kid glide around the bowl field that I was talking about. He may be the second best quarterback in the conference, and Carson Beck. And I was like, wait a minute, Jackson Dart is back for a reason. And Lane, I was like, there's something brewing there maybe. Jackson Dart had surgery, quote, of the lower body variety. I don't even know what that means, but he's going to be very limited in his movement, according to his head coach. And so his head coach knows a lot more, but it's his business. He doesn't have to tell us. I know somebody, boots on the beach there in Oxford. He'll know answers from 247. It's Brad Logan. Brad, welcome, brother. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing well, Chuck. Thanks for having me on. You and I both saw Jackson Dart kind of dice up that Penn State secondary. And there was a picture that floated around a couple of months ago with Jackson Dart on one of those scooters, and he had a brace on one of his ankles. I forget which one, but we feel pretty comfortable. It was a surgery on one of those ankles. And he'll be ready to go for fall camp. But, yeah, he's very limited, as you just mentioned a moment ago. Lane Kiffin told us of the pressure yesterday.
Now, to put anything in perspective for an Ole Miss fan who is maybe wondering, this is news, he has thrown 7-on-7 versus air, but they just want to make sure contact, not even a an off-contact jersey, none of that, so they're just going to keep him clear. Let's talk about who is taking reps, and this may just be kind of fun, but talk about some of the other quarterbacks behind Jackson Dart, because like I said, he's going to be the story this season for me.
There's no doubt. And there are two quarterbacks that are very interesting. One of them is Austin Simmons, who's a true freshman. But right now, Chuck, he's actually one of the best pitchers on the Ole Miss baseball team. And there was a quote from Mike Bianco that said, "We want to protect Austin Simmons as much as possible. We also want to respect his football wishes." So it was kind of a give and take. I do think Coach Lane Kiffin has been pretty open to the fact that he wants to get a lot of people reps. So I think Austin Simmons is someone that will get some reps. I don't know how many that will be. But I think a lot of the lion's share of the reps are going to go to a guy by the name of Walker Howard. And for a lot of those folks listening, it sounds familiar. That's, of course, the five-star former transfer from LSU. And Jamie Howard played for the Tigers. He's now in his uniform. I think he'll get a lot of reps this spring for Ole Miss. So I think it's going to be more or less going to be Walker Howard's show this spring to see what he can do. And we may see some packages for him next year for this big 24 campaign that Ole Miss has coming up.
I want you to speak a little more about him, because he was obviously LSU legacy, and then he earned his own way. I mean, his dad was good, but he was a five-star, and he goes to LSU, and they liked him and all. And he's like, depth chart, I'm transferring. And he was the kid in the spring game last year. He didn't throw, one incomplete pass, and they were like, uh-oh, his talent's starting to show. This is now going to be his third season in college football, and he's behind one of the three or four best quarterbacks in the game, maybe. Where's his mentality? What's his vision, his long range, whatever?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chuck. You know, when he left LSU, everyone kind of scratched their heads. But, obviously it was a decision he made whenever Jaden Daniels, a talented transfer out of Arizona State, comes in. And he's like, I don't know if I'm going to play much. I'm going to go to Ole Miss and compete with Jackson Dart. And we've learned now that Jackson Dart is the quarterback we thought he could be. And now that he's got that ankle cleaned up, he looks to have a really big campaign coming up this year. The question is what is the future for Walker Howard? It appears he's all in at Ole Miss. He's ready to go. I do think, Chuck, I think for the future, there could be some packages available for him. He runs it really well. He's got a pretty good ball that he throws, but he's really good on the ground. I do think, Chuck, if you're asking me right now, in the month of March, what's going to happen in the fall, I think there'll be packages available for him, but I do not foresee him being QB1 for Ole Miss. I think it's all Jackson Dart for this 24 season.
Yeah, let's talk running backs as well. Ulysses Bentley, I got to see some last year of all the excitement, the shifty and the two-way player and all that, and that was great. Logan Diggs, I've seen plenty of him at a couple of places. Now he's in town. I do not know anything about Kedrick Riscano. Tell me how they're going to slice up the football in the backfield, and it may be different roles.
Yeah, the good news for Ole Miss is you've got a pretty talented quarterback room. I think if there are question marks, Chuck, it is going to be the availability of someone like Ulysses Bentley. He'll be the top running back coming in. He'll get a lion's share of the carries. He has not proven to be a running back that can stay healthy throughout his career. We'll see what happens this upcoming year. Kedrick Riscano, very similar to Bentley, not a very big back. I think that's one reason they went to the portal to get Logan Diggs out of LSU. The problem, as you know, Chuck, Logan Diggs tore his ACL last year. He will not be available until the midway point of the year for Ole Miss. So there are some questions. Obviously, we know that Quinshon Judkins is headed off to Ohio State. So he's not going to be available for Ole Miss. That is the biggest question mark for me, including the defense, is what's going to happen in the running back room for Ole Miss. Can Bentley stay healthy, and how well is Riscano going to be welcomed by this offense? Can he learn it quick enough, and can he be a viable option for Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr., the offensive coordinator?
All right, just one more question, and flip it around to the secondary, because, I mean, Ole Miss is like so many other folks. I mean, LSU right next door does this to an extreme. You know, I freak out, clutch the pearls. Oh, my gosh, five new players in the secondary. How will they mesh? Ole Miss is like, yep, we got new guys. They got three transfers to one. Everybody's going to know Trey Amos. Talk about him, but either Moore or Banks or whomever, because there's snaps up for grabs, and so they did like everybody else and brought in some transfers.
Yeah, you know, Lane Kiffin, we heard from him yesterday, Chuck, and he talked specifically that you kind of live by the portal and you die by the portal. He hates the double or unlimited transfer rule, and you have to wonder if the NCAA will revisit that. We did see that they backed up the December signing period, so there could be an opportunity to maybe make some sort of rule or regulation revolves around the portal. I think Trey Amos, you know, to your question, he's definitely someone that Ole Miss is going to be leaning on. They lost a lot to graduation. They lost a lot to the portal. That's definitely a position that Ole Miss is going to be looking at. They got a couple of transfers, one out of Tulane, one out of Central Florida. So there's some options in the back half of that defense, but that's definitely something they're going to be looking at. I think there'll be a lot of questions answered after spring practice who kind of take the step forward to lead that Ole Miss secondary. Look, it's a secondary that's going to be under someone like a Pete Golding, who Ole Miss has really embraced, and Pete Golding has really enjoyed his time at Ole Miss, and I think we're learning just how good of a coordinator he is. He came to Ole Miss, didn't have the talent he had at Alabama, but definitely improved the defense. And I will say this, Chuck, if we visit in December of next year, and Ole Miss is 11-1 or 10-2, and hosting a college football playoff game, it'll be because of the defense and not because of the offense. I think they're going to have to be really good if Ole Miss is going to have a special season.
All right, tough question here. Saturday in early to mid-April, would an Ole Miss fan living in Meridian rather drive up to campus for a weekend series versus LSU or the Ole Miss spring game?
I think Ole Miss being a football program like they are, I think Ole Miss fans are really kind of hovering for that or just really pawning for that 24 seasons. I think they're probably going to want to go to the Grove Bowl. I think they're going to want to see the spring game and see about those secondary players that we talked about, and most importantly, see what's going on at running back when you walk into Vaught Hemingway Stadium.
Absolutely agree with you. And the only reason I ask you, I'll go ahead and tell you, is because there are some locales, like in LSU, they'd rather go to the weekend series against Arkansas, I mean, or, you know, whoever,
right.
Because they've won natty. This is a different season. This has a different feel for an Ole Miss fan, because you look around, and for the first time, you're like, no, we really are included this year. We really could win this thing. So it's just a totally different feel, man. I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks a lot, Chuck.
All right, good stuff there. Appreciate Brad Logan. Inside the Rebels, 247. Also, Believe in Ole Miss podcast. It's different. I've told you. I already have it fixed in my brain that the Saturday night before Christmas, there is a playoff game in Oxford. And you talk about folks who know how to do it upright. You know, there are those, like, outdoor amphitheaters where, yeah, just kind of throw a blanket on the lawn. Then there are the places where folks show up for, like, Hall & Oates, and they bring the candelabras and, you know, London broil. Oxford for a playoff game? Oxford, not like we're leaving Oxford and it's going to look like Hoosiers are driving to Dallas for the playoff game. No, it's like they're coming here. Can you imagine the hospitality? I've tasked Heath with so much, and this is only speculative, and he's already on that Texas State Fair thing anyway, but it would be wonderful when the playoff picture comes into focus if there's somehow we can, wherever those Friday and Saturday playoff games are, certainly an opportunity. So I appreciate Brad coming on again. Inside the Ribs, 247 is a thing, and then Believe in Ole Miss podcast. All right, we break. We continue with Hour 1 next.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Having a thankful spirit, being grateful for our opportunity. And again, because we know it's supposed to be really dang hard, and it's going to be really hard. But, man, I want our people in our building to enjoy walking in those double doors as, as we're trying to go chase it every day together.
What's the Q joint out there? Is it Lil Dewey's?
That's the one that gets the hype, yes.
Oh, that was a shot.
No. I don't know.
That was a drive-by.
I just know, for example, my friend Andy Staples will tell you that if you are a Tuscaloosa person, Dreamland gets the hype, but that he says Archibald's is the better place. So Lil Dewey gets the reputation. I've never been to Starkville. I don't know, not know if it is fully deserved or not. Not a shot.
That is Jeff Levy, and he's talking about going about their business and the fact that they have opportunities here, and it's spring, and let's go get after it. It's the most difficult job in the SEC because they're not only our overall expectations. Hey, we should be kind of good. We should be a bowl team. We should probably win a bowl. We should be better than just six or even seven. We should be better. There's in-state, like, head-to-head. Like, you have two levels of expectations. There's nothing at Vanderbilt. You're going to win a lot fewer games in Nashville. It's a lot tougher now. Right now, Starkville passed Vanderbilt as most difficult job in the Southeastern Conference. It already stunk to be Vanderbilt. You were worse than everyone. Mississippi State, you were better than some. Now OU and Texas come in. Two more teams that are better than you. For Vanderbilt, like, eight conference games against teams that are better than you, does it matter, really, if it's Tennessee or OU who beats you that day? Does it matter, really, if it's Georgia or Texas? For Mississippi State, it does matter who winds up on your schedule because, I don't know, you kind of got a chance. That job just became, oh, and a first-time-ever head coach. There you go. While Ole Miss is at, I'm not even kidding, its highest mark since the early 60s, when by some stretch in 60, 61, and 62, they claim one kind of legit, two not, national championships. Like, these are high times in Oxford, man. And you're jumping into that wood chipper? By the way, all the running backs left the state of Mississippi. Do you know Woody Marks left at Southern Cal? Everybody knows Quinshon. Quinshon left. Quinshon went to Columbus, Ohio. He's like, I don't play for Buckeyes. And it's going to be an unreal experience. He had a great time in the Grove and record setter and all kinds of stuff. And Lane believed in him and he stayed with the commitment and all that other stuff. Now Quinshon's getting broke off. So it is an unbelievably competitive environment right now in Starkville. And so that's kind of what he is stepping into. And none of it's going to be easy. They have Mike Wright still. And they have Blake Chapin, the transfer from Baylor. He's a good enough quarterback. I really didn't mean to get into sort of Mississippi State deep dive here. But he's a good enough quarterback to hear the conversation. It surprised me how... I don't want to say positive about it, but how perfect fit, hand in the glove, Blake Chapin is viewed for this program. Jeff Levy said, oh, yeah, I talked to him. I was like, yeah, that's our guy right there. Now, a quarterback coach and a quarter, they're supposed to have some sort of chemistry, and it just happens, and it's magic, and I saw him from across the field. But I've watched Blake Chapin, and he's a good enough quarterback to me. Maybe I'm selling him short. I don't believe so. But Mike Wright is still there, and so you know they have an idea, a specific idea for him that's different. They've got Kayvon Lee, who was at Penn State. I don't know, when you're a freshman and then sophomore and you look like you're about to be King Daddy, and then not one but two freshman running backs come in and they're both ahead. When two freshmen pass you on the running back depth chart, even at Penn State, there's no way to slice that up. So there's some interesting stories there. But You need one of two things here, and the first one is just really not much attainable. You either need transformational X's and O's, and when I say that's not attainable, sometimes in the SEC there are the trappings of we have transformation. Somebody had a better mousetrap. Heath, do you remember Tony Franklin?
Absolutely.
The system?
Yes.
He would license. It was like sheet music for the fifth grade choir. He would license his offensive the system to you, and I guess it worked. I'm sure it did work. I never really saw it unfold necessarily in the SEC on a consistent basis, but it was the system and Tony Franklin. That wasn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Urban in Gainesville, and people went, oh. I'm talking about Steve Spurrier in Gainesville, and people went, oh. Oh, by the way, it wasn't Urban's X's and O's, but he was the head coach, and people went, oh, he's doing stuff different now. He did. What is that play to Aaron Hernandez? I said, it's just triple option football, but the pitch is forward. And that's all it was to me. What's he doing with Tebow? I was like, if you can go YouTube and watch single wing football from the 1940s. And so it was so old, it was new. For Spurrier, it was just new. Gus, I'll give him credit. They had Cam. Gus, I'll give him credit. He had some transformational X's and O's. And when Nick Marshall showed up, see, that's when actually the offense, I think they could have run a lot of offenses with Cam and probably been pretty good. With Nick Marshall, like, that was an example of transformational X's and O's. It's rare that you have that. And so either Mississippi State has to have that on the sidelines, the play sheet that is just, it's a better mousetrap, man. Boy, we got to figure out that Mississippi State attack. Either it's that, or you get in a quarterback that changes stuff. And if you look at Blake Chapin, I don't think this is me. I did some tough rankings, and this was back beginning of the week. I just started, it was on actually the Jackson Dart thing, where I was like, man, I'm impressed with Nico. Wait a minute, Jackson Dart. Wait a minute, Quinn Ewers. There is a chance, now this is not just projection, there's a chance, other than Nate Johnson, the Utah transfer, who I think is going to start for Vanderbilt, Mississippi State's in the toughest spot right now at quarterback. And yes, I watch Auburn a lot, and I know Brock Grandegriff hasn't played, and I know Lenora Sellers is all about hype, and I know the transfer from Boise State, and I know that Jackson Arnold is just like, do you realize I just went through like six other quarterbacks that all have stories or warts? And I'm saying I might like their situations. Like Garrett Nussmeier, he really hadn't played that much at all last year. His third year there, and they went that whole continuity thing? Yeah, I'm digging some Nussmeier. Connor Wegman? Folks, when he's played, scintillating. Just hadn't got hurt. It was the end of the season, and so the season ended. And then it was the beginning of the season, and he got hurt. Stuff happens. Like, there's some potential fantastic QBs in the SEC who haven't played. Blake Chapin has. I'll put him behind Peyton Thorne, maybe. They don't have the wicked play sheet, and Libby's good, but SEC, we've seen it. They don't have the transformational play sheet. They don't have the transformational quarterback. So it may be the toughest job in the SEC, certainly beginning this season. What up, Heath?
So women's basketball, not something we talk much about on this program, but there is a story from women's basketball that I think is relevant to the discussion. Caitlin Clark, even if you are not someone who follows women's basketball, has done enough that she has probably come on your radar. That is, of course, the Iowa star who has set the record for most points scored by any athlete playing college basketball on any level at this point in the college ranks. You name it, you know, any version, men's, women, she's the record holder. And she has attracted huge attention as she did so. For example, in the game she broke the record against Ohio State, she got 3.39 million viewers to watch a women's basketball game on Fox. And the reason this is relevant is because, according to a news outlet that covers sports business, Fox executives actually looked into the prospect of doing an NIL deal with Caitlin Clark to convince her to stay in school for another year. In effect, she is the programming. And so if we can get X number of games of the Caitlin Clark show, and those games will draw 3.39 million when ordinarily they wouldn't draw half a million for Fox, how much should we pay this person to provide the programming that's providing the ratings that we can sell? They didn't wind up doing it. And part of the reason they didn't wind up is because apparently Caitlin Clark is just ready to move on with her life, get on to the pros. And, you know, not everybody wants to stay in college 6-7 years, even if you could do it. She just wasn't looking to stay around for another year of college. But here's my question, Chuck. How long is it going to be before there is a equivalent of this in college football? Because the perfect example would have been Tebow, a guy who had some questions about his NFL future. If there's a Tebow, if there's, we'll say, a Doug Flutie type that comes along that has obvious questions about his NFL future, but he's somebody who has drawn ratings, attracted attention. It's not far-fetched at all for me to believe if you've got a guy that for whatever reason the NFL doesn't love but is a superstar college player that has shown he can bring eyeballs, and there's not one every year, but we've seen enough
Manziel
of them.
Would be an example.
Manziel could be one. How long is it going to be before it makes sense for ESPN or CBS or whoever to break off a contract with them and say, no, technically we're not paying you directly. It's an NIL deal. You're going to need to tweet about the latest CSI Toledo or whatever a couple of times on your social media, but make sure you show up and play some ball for us. I got to believe we're going to see it sooner rather than later.
It's an extension, and it's not a very far one. And it's something that, again, there are a lot of those deals in place because all you're basically saying is, imagine if it was just a scripted program. And instead of being a scripted program that we're hiring you to work on, we're hiring you to work on a non-scripted reality, quote, sports program.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.